Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, oh my God, this guy's gonna swing on right. Jim.
He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, presented by Coors Light on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
We're learning a lot about each other.
Yeah, okay, a military wife.
You.
A deep sea fisherman.
Jim.
And a lead conductor for an orchestra. That's actually pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Matt, you, like, I don't mean this in a mean way, but like, you kind of look like your dog.
In honor of Molly Brown, and your nickname was?
Maladina Muffin Pie. Savage. Why are we not making Fufu say Fufu constantly? Sorry. Daddy, don't call me Jimmy anymore.
Yes, it makes me feel better that you were like this the entire time.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside gold medalist Matt Hamilton and downtown Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
It is hour number two of the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover of Wilde and Taos. Jim, Matt, and Molly is presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
I'm Jim Rutledge. I have the power. Primetime War Shines back in the Everlight Solar Studio. I'm alongside Molly Brown, who's fixing her hair, and Matt Hamilton.
Go figure.
Who has put his hair up in a bun.
Fixed.
Go figure.
Fixed his hair. We are at Camp Randall for the Upper Deck event. We're having a good time, and we are in the Ho-Chunk Gaming 1917 Club having fun. And you can get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's the Carbo Stalking text line. List is more. We started the show talking about the Milwaukee Brewers. ESPN called them one of the other losers, along with the Cubs, at the trade deadline. Our poll question is, are you confident the Brewers will make the World Series after yesterday's MLB trade deadline? 81% of you say no. Ron in the Key says he didn't think it before, and he definitely doesn't think it after. We did have a question up the other day that you can chime in on as well. Is, would you be happy if Jordan Love turned out to be as good of a QB as Baker Mayfield? Because if you took out the best and worst seasons of Baker Mayfield as a full-time starter, the stats are pretty similar. And Baker Mayfield, I'm not saying that as a negative. I think Baker probably got ran out of Cleveland too fast, and I think that this is not a bold statement. The Packers are 10 times the organization of the Browns. And so if Jordan Love is that type, he just kind of seems like that type of QB, where there could be some volatility in his game, but he makes some big plays. He can make some big mistakes. I'm setting aside the maturity things that I think Baker Mayfield has worked through. And I think that goes back to the organization. I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are very happy to have Baker Mayfield as the face of their franchise and for what they're paying him, by the way. I believe it's like $30 million. Instead of 55.5. But that aside, so maybe we should add that little asterisk to it. Would you be happy if the Packers were paying Jordan Love Baker Mayfield money?
It would make it a lot
more. Because he's playing like Baker. Right. He's getting paid like Aaron Rodgers, playing like Baker Mayfield.
Is he getting paid more than what was Aaron Rodgers' like highest contract?
I would imagine. Yeah, because every year they go up.
I mean, so yeah. I understand that.
I mean, look, at least not the Cowboys paying
Dak Prescott $60 million.
And now you've upset Micah Parsons to the point where he's either asked for a trade or not show up for the Cowboys. And we also have the Commanders, Washington Commanders. Terry McLaurin is asking to be traded away from the Washington Commanders. And I find that interesting, and I want to throw it out to everyone right now. And don't do the initial, no, our receivers are good. I think Scary Terry could be, if we think Jordan Love is Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff level, Scary Terry could elevate this team.
He could be Jordan Love's Mike Evans.
They go from where
to
I think.
To Baker Mayfield. You know,
yes.
Making the comparison.
We got it.
You laughed at me like I was crazy.
No, yeah.
I think if they added McLaurin, they would go from a team right now who I think is viewed similar to Minnesota, where you're like, could be third. Maybe win the division, probably either second or third. That's where the Packers and Minnesota, I think, fit. Mm-hmm. Different question marks. Minnesota's roster is elite. ESPN just said Minnesota has the best coaching staff in all of football. I think they had the Packers at 10. So there's that side of it. And then you go to the Lions right now are, I think, still viewed as the clear-cut favorite to win the division. Because, yep. Yeah, you lose some coordinators, which is important. But if you go from 15 wins to 11, it's still probably putting you in pretty good. They have far to fall.
If you just look at the talent on the field.
I was going to say, they have a good roster and they have a good head coach.
You have to have pretty bad coaches to make a talented roster like that look
exactly
bad.
But if the Packers added someone like Scary Terry, then I think that can make a case to elevate them to be the favorite to win the North.
For sure. Clear-cut number one. Veteran? Oh, my God. I would take him in a second.
Only 29, so he still fits the mold for Goody?
Yeah, it's a little old.
82
he catches. Not 30.
Well, maybe that mold isn't working for Goody. 82 receptions, 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns last year. So that's obviously – and that's when he had, for the first time ever, a quarterback. So imagine what he would do. Like, you would take those numbers. They're number one across the board for everything for the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, there's no way that he's leaving the Commanders, right? There's no way.
Now, my question is,
why not? He wants $33 million.
Because they're not going to risk losing him.
I agree. But
just got Debo.
Oh my God! Yeah, Debo, who's on the end of his career. You didn't watch the wide receiver show?
He's
where
close
he's literally
to like,
just getting treatment the entire show.
He's close to like I used to, you know, zombie Chris Middleton the last year and a half with the Bucks.
Yeah,
I call him that.
It's a great
like,
comparison.
It's zombie Samuel at this point.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same guy. But
I'm just trying to make fetch happen. I'm trying to get Terry.
Look, I get
in
it.
Wisconsin.
But Terry,
he's good in green and gold.
I mean, nobody does. But
get out of here.
He's a player that would elevate the entire team. And so my question is, I'll throw out to you guys, and you can chime in 844-770-3776. Carbon Stock and Text Line, this is more. Would you want the Packers to trade for McLaurin? And enough? You guys both seem like a yes. What would you give up?
Jaden Reed.
No. Don't say that.
They're similar size players, I feel like. I don't know this for certain, but I feel like they could have similar roles in an offense. You don't need two guys that are like that.
I just like Jaden Reed, though.
I like Jaden Reed, too, but...
Can we get rid of Dobbs, Watson, Dontavian Wicks? Can we give up
Madden.
Three guys?
You can't just trade away a poo-poo platter.
Because, Molly, you've played fantasy football a couple times. When you try and offer, like, let me give you three bench players for your starter,
exactly.
Nobody accepts
like,
that
the
trade.
Commanders have nobody. NFL scouts, too. Like, yeah. They're not just like, oh, I guess they're, you know.
Oh,
I
they mean, were starters on your team? Oh, well, yeah, like, good deal.
Her trade is like in the movie Meet the Parents when he goes to, like, the Walgreens there, and he's like, do you have any really nice champagne? Oh, we got Mums.
That's Meet the Fockers.
Fockers, sorry. Do you have anything that's – no, it was Meet the Parents is the first
nope.
one.
That was the first one.
Yeah,
meet
that's
the
first
one. Right,
it's
the first one.
Because
he has to go meet
the
Fockers.
Meet
oh,
the pa-
wait.
Yes, I am right on this.
Huh.
The Fockers is the second
yeah,
one.
Yeah, now I got to think about – okay, he's the Focker.
You're the Focker because you screwed up my story.
Sorry, that was bad. Okay, continue. Yes.
Thanks, Focker. Did you know, just a side note, they had to find one family in America with the last name Focker to be able to
really
name him Focker without having like an R rating or whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Anyways, meet the
Ryan
parents.
Dumped this whole thing.
I haven't been recording any, but don't worry.
We're disconnected. We're off the air.
Yeah.
Look, we're in hour number two. We're close enough to our 4-6 time in Madison. Madison, we have fun in Madison. We're not uptight like Milwaukee and everywhere. Beaver Dam. Like, we have a good time. So
it's not
taking shots.
I'm not tight.
Oh my God.
Anyways, meet the parents. He goes to like a Walgreens. He asks for, hey, you know, nice bottle of champagne. The clerk's like, we got Mums. She's like, no, do you have anything expensive? And his answer is like, well, you could buy a bunch of Mums.
Yeah. That's what Molly's trying to pitch.
Yeah,
exactly.
The commanders call the Packers like, you got anything good?
Hey, did he end up buying that bottle of wine or champagne or whatever and meet
no,
the parents?
I don't think
he, oh, yeah. That's unfortunate. That would have proved my point.
He did not buy a bunch of Mums. He did not buy a bunch of Mums.
So what would you guys give up?
The Raiders?
Other than Jaden Reed.
So I wanted to get to this one.
Other than Jaden Reed.
Jaden Reed is the guy you give up.
No.
You
but
be
you're not just going to do a single swap. Right, like right, they're not just going to swap. Right, like, what else are you giving?
The Raiders sent, this is going back to the Davante Adams trade. The Raiders sent the Packers their first-round pick and a second-round pick. And so if you gave up.
Jaden Reed and a second-rounder?
Oh, well,
maybe a
first-rounder?
First
yeah, Jaden Reed and a first.
No, it's not that much.
Okay.
Jaden Reed in a second?
There's no first-round pick involved if the Packers are – if they're trading Jaden Reed too, then no. Then the Commanders are getting, like, arguably a better asset. You're getting a guy who's way younger, not as good, don't get me wrong, but you're getting a guy who you can have on the team for probably five more years and be a contributor. The reason they don't want Terry McLaurin or they don't want to pay him is because he's about to be 30, and we all know that Goody – hates 30-year-olds himself, too, so he's not giving up a first-round pick.
So, okay, so Reed in what? Second?
A second-round
pick. I would say Reed in, like, a fourth.
Okay, I'm going to shoot the difference here. Reed and a...
You sound like you're negotiating like Goody.
Yes, because...
Here, I'll give you Jaden Reed, not saying a fourth, half-eaten breakfast burrito.
I'm not asking what the Packers... I'm not saying what the Packers would give up. If you're... Okay, we'll go with this. If you wake up tomorrow, you're a Packers fan, you see Jaden Reed in a third-round pick is traded to Commanders for Terry McLaurin, which then means money coming in. Obviously, you're going to pay him. Are you happy with that?
I don't need coffee because I've got excitement to tide me over the rest of the day, if that happens.
There'd be fans who I think would be upset with that. That's a good question.
No. I wouldn't be upset if Terry McLaurin comes. I would just be like bummed because I genuinely like Jaden Reed. But I could get over it if they're bringing in a guy that's going to make your team potentially Super Bowl contenders. Hell yeah. But
Dave and Aaron was such a – it's so funny. I don't want Terry. We have enough talent and only one ball we can throw. You have no talent anywhere close to proven as Terry McLaurin.
But it's the same thing.
You know what he does? He makes Golden, and in this case, then – Golden and Wicks better.
Josh DiMaggio chimes in on the private talking text line. He says, the problem that drives down pick value is the $30-plus million extension he wants.
Okay, so I think conditional third?
Yeah.
I think you're overselling Jaden Reed here because he's been kind of...
Oh, no, 100%.
No, I'm Ryan.
I'm not saying that Jaden Reed is anywhere going to be as good as Terry McLaurin one day, but it's the same thing as the Brewers with prospects. Like, you have a guy who you can project to one day be really good, and if he stays on... a moderate caps number, then you can get way more value out of it. Teams are always looking for, like, the value is the thing that they want to get the most, whether that's so the Brewers or an NFL team.
But it goes back to they're not going to make this trade because either the Packers
correct.
Don't care about winning a Super Bowl this year or they think that Jordan Love is going to be Aaron Rodgers and he'll just elevate everyone.
And there's that interesting stat, too, thanks to Ryan and the Daily Primer. There's 9 wide receivers that make $30 million per year and only one of them is older than 27. Which is Tyreek.
Do you think they're actually going to have to give McLaurin that number, though?
Yes.
I mean, that's what he's asking for with the Commanders. So,
but the Commanders might say, we don't want it. The Packers will say, we'll give you 28. We'll give you a high guarantee number.
He's asking for about $33 million per year. He wants what DK Metcalf just got.
Yeah.
So 29, and we'll give you a better guarantee.
I think the Commanders are probably offering him that right now, and he's saying no.
Right, we're trying to have a thought exercise.
I know, I'm just saying.
Jesus. What are you, in my Twitter mentions?
He wants it to be real.
Why are we doing a radio show if we can't have any conversation? I'm like, fine, $30 million. You pay Terry McLaurin $30 million to trade a conditional third-round pick. I'm sorry, you are insane if you don't think that makes the Packers better. Now, obviously, you are absolutely insane and lost your damn mind if you think Brian Gutekunst is going to trade for
it. This move,
he's not going to do it.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to have a damn thought exercise.
I liked it, Jim.
I'm not saying I don't like it either. I think the idea of Terry McLaurin on the Packers is exciting, too. But I think the idea, if we're talking about what the actual trade would look like, realistically, it's going to be much lower in draft value, draft capital, than you would expect.
How about this? Oh, maybe this isn't that interesting. Ryan sent this to our group chat. He said, LaFleur said Jaden Reed dropped out of practice yesterday because of a foot issue. Blamed it on the cleats, actually. So yeah.
They're currently down four wide receivers in practice right now.
Oh, that's great. Jordan Love is going to be fantastic.
We really
going into
can
family
use
night.
Terry McLaurin then. We're down four.
All right, but like back to like so if it's Reed in a conditional third, which I think is fair. Like if Reed pops off, then it may be it goes down. Or if McLaurin doesn't do what the Packers want, then his number then the trade goes down. You know the pick goes lower or whatever. I think that's doable. Because, again, Reed is still – so he's 2 years in. He's got 2 years, so you have to decide. If you're one more season before you have to decide you have to pay him, he's not young. Dobbs doesn't make sense because Dobbs is already at that point of, like, you have to kind of make that decision about paying him. Wicks is like the thing that you love as a fan, but, like, other fan base or other teams are looking like, that's – we got our own Dontavian Wicks.
High upside potential, Jim.
Yeah, everyone's got a lot of players with high upside potential that never get there. I mean, I love that high upside potential for a guy entering his third season who was a fifth-round pick who's only shown little flashes.
Exactly. But those little flashes were wow.
Right. Jerry out on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream says, as vets go, give me Terry all day over Hardman.
I mean, yeah. But again, like he just slots everyone down. And he gives you a known quantity. And this all goes back to, I don't think Jordan Love will be the Aaron Rodgers tier that you will win because of, but I think he's a guy you can win with. And if you believe your team, and maybe it is, you know, the cap we talked about with the Brewers, if not now, then when? Goody might say, maybe in 2 more years when Love's a little bit older. But we want to see what Love can do with this team. We want to see what this team we built can do, and we want to make sure that Jordan Love isn't Aaron Rodgers and that he is a guy you need to win with and not because of. And then next year, if a receiver comes up, we make that move.
Yeah.
But it's unquestionably McLaurin would make the Packers, I think. I don't think they're truly a – they're only a Super Bowl contender in the idea that they're going to probably make the playoffs. But I don't think they're a true Super Bowl contender as a roster's contender.
Well, when you look at them, like Packers-Eagles, if they play that game 10 times, Packers win one or two.
Yeah, I look at them as very similar to like where San Francisco is. San Francisco had horrible injuries last year, so I think they'll bounce back and be in contention for the playoffs. And I think those two teams have the same amount of chance to go to the Super Bowl. The 49ers have been there more recently than the Packers with their quarterback. They've gone further in the playoffs than the Packers with their quarterback. They had an incredibly snake-bitten year last year. Their first-round pick got shot. So, like, you want to talk about getting...
He played last year. He was fine.
Matt, yeah. He literally got shot.
I know. And he played football the same season. You know who else did? Brian Robinson from the Commanders, and he plays fine. You know what I mean?
You don't think that's an indication of maybe a snake-bitten season?
He literally got shot.
Okay.
Plus, I feel like all their
thanks for shooting down my argument.
Plus, like McCaffrey.
Quiet. Thank you.
Did McCaffrey play at all last year?
No, he had like double.
He was
double
like overseas.
Calf, like tendonitis something.
Tendonitis. Yeah.
Didn't he go overseas to get like treatment that wasn't legal in
Germany?
The States. Yeah.
He got some sort of stem cells.
Did Kobe? Didn't Kobe go over there and do the same thing? This like they do like the your blood. They shake your blood up. They put it back in.
I mean, you can get a facial like that at Carbon.
Can you please
did you know that?
Can you expand on that, please?
Okay. Okay, Carbon World Health, their new location in the Sunbury Shopping Center. So you can I found this out. Ashley Rodriguez. Sorry,
right.
I'm trying to think back because this was a little bit ago that she told me this. But Ashley Rodriguez at Carbon, she told me about it that like, and I've seen Kim Kardashian do this. I know this is not sports talk, people. I know, but they literally draw your blood, do some spinny stuff with it, take plasma. I don't know what the hell they do, right? And then they like microneedle your face. So then that's a bunch of little needles going in your face, and they put your blood back in because it like makes your skin plump and beautiful.
It's like
it's a vampire facial. Google it.
It's a platelet thing. I think they do it with you can do it.
It sounds terrifying.
You can do it. Hair regrowth is another way, but I think the athletes have done it when you have
it like stimulates something.
A national injury, you can pull out your blood from like that area or a different area. You spin it around and then you put it back in.
Back to the dark ages, we're bloodletting again.
No, I don't know if that's what
they're putting leeches on your face.
That's a thing too. No. You can. I've seen this too. You can go to like Greece and stuff and put your feet into like a bowl for a pedicure, and then fish will eat.
I don't think you have to go to Greece for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I've only seen on like reality
TV shows.
You can
just go tubing down the Sugar River. Tubing down the Sugar River if you want fish to.
Then they eat all the nasty stuff off your toes.
I know a guy at the end of East Wash who could do that for you, Molly. Don't worry, I got a fish guy.
Oh, man. Ryan knows a fishmonger.
Ryan, I don't want you to eat nasty stuff off my feet, okay?
Hold on. I'm not saying it's me. I'm saying I know
Ryan.
That guy's got the fish.
Yeah. Ryan.
Okay, slow down.
He's asking Ryan. For a friend,
I got this friend, Molly, that will eat the nasty stuff
His
off
name's
your feet.
Brian Bullersheim.
Mime time Bullersheim, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mime time.
Oh, my God.
All right, this is Jim Matt Bonnie, presented by Coors Light.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
When I first jumped off, I held that bucket in my hand. Ideas that would take me all around the world. I stood and watched the smoke behind a mountain curl.
Jim, Matt, and Molly continues the takeover of Wilde and Tausch. We're at Camp Randall for the Upper Deck event. Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown with you. Primetime, Laura Shine back at the Everlight Solar Studio. We are on across ESPN Wisconsin, 1430 in Beaver Dam, 94.5 in Milwaukee, and obviously 100.5 in Madison. I'm Jim Rutledge, and we are asking you a lot of different questions. You can chime in on the Carbon Stock and Text on 844-770-3776. This is more, and we have someone very mad on our YouTube stream about Fish Fridays. And what I can't grasp is being upset about the band Fish or, like, Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could get being upset with like fan bases. Like for a long time, I was like anti Dave Matthews, and I was more of like their fans are so annoying. Like you act like they act like Dave invented music, and same with like Fish and Grateful Dead. And there's a part to that where like it is just music, guys. It's not like it doesn't need to be a full on religion and everything.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be a polarizing thing.
It doesn't need to be your whole personality to love it or hate it. But at the same time, like now I just kind of gotten older. I'm like, you know what? It's good, chill vibe music. We play Fish Friday because I've never been to a traditional fish fry in Wisconsin.
That is, so
I don't think I've been
banana.
Either.
What?
But that makes sense for me because I don't like fish. The food, not the band.
But like fried fish, I've always said this before, which has been kind of the lack of appeal for me. Like you could fry a shoe and it's probably all right. I mean, the state fair is going on in Milwaukee; they fry everything. They're like, all right, I guess I'll eat
crocodile, rattlesnake, all the things.
You fry everything, and it takes. I mean,
well, you can't have like baked bluegill.
But my point is, like,
you can't.
Well, I mean, you can, but like I've never heard of it.
It's just funny to me because like a fish fry is obviously very much a tie to religion because you like nobody goes to like a chicken tenders Friday,
yeah.
But you can't. You have to. What you can't have meat. You can only have fish on Fridays.
That was just red meat, but I don't know.
I don't know. I know when I worked at McDonald's, we sold a lot of filet fishes on Friday. We didn't. That was the most that we sold.
That's not even real fish, is it?
But it's not.
I don't want to know.
It's not meat. That much is for sure. So I've never been to traditional Fish Friday. My parents didn't grow up in Wisconsin. I did, but like, so they weren't like Fish Fry people. And then my brother's a big fish fan, and so Fish Friday is a little double entendre. And maybe someday I'll get to a great fish fry in Wisconsin.
I am not holing out hope. It's been like 5 years, 4 years since we've been doing this together.
I'm not dodging. People will invite, and then they don't follow up.
Oh, that's a shot at you, Matt.
No, I'm not Matt.
You know what?
I don't think Matt has invited.
I got some fresh fish from my cabin trip this last week. Caught a lot of bluegill. I'll fry some bluegill. I'll do, like, traditional fish fry. I'll have, like, your little, like, veggie platter to start. We'll make, like, a classic, like,
it's a relish
salad.
Well, then we could do your favorite thing,
you
Matt, is that you believe that you make things better than every other restaurant. Okay. That's still not the fish fry experience, but I guarantee it would be an amazing fish fry, and I'd love the opportunity to have it.
It's the smell for me. I hate when you walk in a restaurant and it just like smells like fish. Gross. I'm out.
I feel like when you walk into a fish fry, it smells like fried stuff.
The fryers, yeah.
Which is a worse smell.
Oh, my gosh. I used to run the fryers on Fridays at the local restaurant that I worked at, McFarland. Yep. It's gone now, so I can say it. It was the Beach House restaurant.
Okay.
I felt like I was so gross after that. I was like covered in like aerosoled grease.
When I lived in Cedarburg, I worked at McDonald's there for a few years.
Ugh. Yeah.
Like, I'd say burn the clothes, but you'd probably burn down your house.
Exactly. It's definitely a hazard.
But yeah, I worked in restaurants and bars for most of my life, and you just have that grease around you. Even in the nicest restaurants I worked in, there's still stuff getting fried that over time that grease can settle in. So go enjoy a restaurant tonight.
Enjoy that fish fry.
Fish Friday.
Yeah, yes.
Listen to some fish while you're enjoying your fish.
But yeah, I just couldn't imagine being that worked up over the band Fish.
Is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, a band in general. But
there's a lot of people that get really worked up about Taylor Swift, too. I was like, it's just music, and you're just mad because she's popular, and she gets put on the television during a football game every once in a while.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of
lots of layers.
Yes. I'm feeling 22. That's in honor of Matthew Golden, who I still think is going to change his number.
He is not.
He's not.
22, baby.
Stuck.
We'll see. I'm playing the long game.
Yeah.
So it could be next year.
That's not.
No, I'm just pulling the Molly Brown. I'm just going to move the goalpost.
When did I move the goalpost?
You put me in a box earlier where you're like.
That's your own box that you made.
I didn't make it.
That's what it's going to be.
No, Molly, that
okay,
is
I assembled the box
take.
And I put Jim in it. But, like, it's mine.
Yeah, now I'm putting you in the box. All right, so Chris Canty on Unsportsmanlike today had some pretty, I believe, complimentary things to say about Matt LaFleur. Now, ESPN came out with an article that ranked the Packers 10th best coaching staff in the NFL. I think the Lions were 11th. Minnesota was number one. I don't know where the Bears fell. I would imagine pretty low because it's a very unproven staff, at least with Ben Johnson. The rest of the staff has a lot of what I do like about that staff is that most of the guys are in jobs that are below what they normally do. Like Eric Bieniemy's often been an OC. He's their running backs coach. Like those sorts of things is usually an indication that you have a good staff. But The Packers at 10, Lions at 11, Vikings at 1. None of that's super surprising to me, but let's hear Canty on Unsportsmanlike this morning.
This is somebody that the organization was on the fence on before last season on whether or not they were going to fire his ass. So I'm not going to sit here and crown Nick Sirianni because they went on a magic carpet ride run. I'm not going to do it. Listen, everybody wanted to line up and crown Doug Peterson. They ran his ass out of town a few years after he won the chip. And that was the Eagles' first Super Bowl title. So I'm not going to crown him. Conversely, what Matt LaFleur has done, what I've seen in Green Bay, transitioning from a legendary quarterback in Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love and keeping that succession of 30-plus years of outstanding quarterback play going in Green Bay is impressive. He would have been in the playoffs every single year had Aaron Rodgers not lost a Week 18 winning in game against the Detroit Lions, who had nothing to play for that season. So, yeah, I got a bank full of respect for Matt LaFleur in terms of his program building. A ton of it.
So I want to add this part of it. Outstanding is insane to say that Jordan Love outstanding quarterback play. Like, that is nobody's saying outstanding, right? Nobody would call Jordan Love's quarterback play outstanding, right?
I think it's more referring to the 30 years prior to Jordan Love.
But he said continuing.
Continuing.
So just pointing that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just catching that part. He talked about they would have been in there if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers. Well, if you're going to play that game, then they wouldn't have been in there four or five years ago because they've gotten the exact same dead last playoff spot that didn't exist a few years ago. Now, I don't think that's fair to do, but if you're going to then go retroactively blame Aaron Rodgers for a missed playoff one, then I'm sorry, the Packers.
No, that's totally different. Packers get in. The situation was different for the playoffs. That with Aaron Rodgers was a win and in. That was under your own control, and he didn't make it happen.
But you had Aaron Rodgers, and you had to get to that game. But here's my other point. Here's the other facts. The Packers have finished third every year without Aaron Rodgers, correct? They've gotten their ass kicked by the Lions every damn year. The Lions own their ass, and they have been the last playoff team in the playoffs the 2 years with Jordan Love. So it's good, but this is not sustained success. They have leveled down since Aaron Rodgers has left. They went from NFC Championship games with Aaron Rodgers, so that's not sustaining success. They have leveled down. Now, if you want to tell me you believe in Matt LaFleur bringing them back up, fine, but we're looking at the facts. It is back-to-back third-place seasons for the Green Bay Packers in the division, continually getting their ass kicked by the Detroit Lions, and then also being the last team in the playoffs the last 2 years, and they are 1-2 in the playoffs. Those are also parts of the facts. So I'm not saying Matt LaFleur isn't a great coach. I'm not saying the Packers can't climb. I think number 10 is just fine because that allows them to continue to climb back up and prove it. But I also think it's fair to question. I think it's fair to point out that it has not been elite since Aaron Rodgers has left. It's been encouraging, but they have to take that next step. Get out of third place. Maybe start with that.
Yeah, I hear you. I do hear you.
But I will say, too, and I can't remember if that was in the clip or not, but Canty also attributed a lot of Sirianni's success that he's had with the Eagles and everything that they've done, especially last year, to their GM. So he was basically saying, hey, their success is the direct cause of their GM. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that. And then his argument for Matt LaFleur is he doesn't have that great of a, like, as great of a GM backing him, so their success is because of him rather than their GM.
I'm not going to ride or die Goody, but it's the same GM that they had when they were going to the NFC Championship games with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying that was part of his argument, too, and that was part of the reason why he was defending
Aaron Rodgers.
I think 10 is fair. I think Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers.
I agree with that 10 is fair.
I think 10 is fair. I would not call the Green Bay Packers coaching staff top 10, or at least top in the NFC North. I think Minnesota is fair to say they have the best.
But I think it's also fair to say that if Matt LaFleur were to leave the Green Bay Packers one way or another, he's getting scooped up right away.
For sure. I'm not saying he should be fired. I'm not saying that he's not a top 10 coaching staff. And I think it's fair to put him in front of the Lions. Even the Lions have beat their ass the last few years and owned the Green Bay Packers. Like, I think that, like, Dan Campbell losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, it's fair to say, well, let's see
it's
what happens.
It's going to test how good he is, for
sure. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel, continually until the end, like, he replaced LaFleur and then brought in Arthur Smith. And he hired those guys. Like, and Arthur Smith is a good offensive coordinator with the Titans. They did well there. So, like, he backfilled and the Titans won. Like, and so you can look at other coaches who have filled in and have done just fine. So you got to wait and see. But we can't just say Dan Campbell can't do it. But I'm fine with the Lions at 11 because they're lost two coordinators. Jeff Hafley looks like a good hire. And then obviously LaFleur is essentially the offensive coordinator for the team. Stenovich helps, but like, look, it's LaFleur. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the Vikings, what they've been able to do, like they got the most out of Kirk Cousins. They got the most out of Sam Darnold. Brian Flores is arguably maybe the best defensive coordinator in all of football. And then obviously O'Connell calling plays is doing great. And so, and he's developed, he's gotten career years out of one like fringe Pro Bowl quarterback and one journeyman quarterback. He's gotten career years out of them. And they would have, and I think we all can agree with this, if Kirk Cousins doesn't get hurt against Green Bay and blow out his Achilles, the Packers don't make the playoffs this year. Now, that doesn't matter. I'm just saying that he was leading his team and just missed the playoffs despite missing his quarterback for part of the year. Now, the Packers, fact of the matter is, went in, but still, point being, you still had to go and, you know, make that next step and make the playoffs. So, like, I look at Minnesota being number one as very fair. Because why are we saying Minnesota could be competing with Detroit at the top of the division? Because their roster is loaded. And, oh, by the way, to your point about Canty, they got a hell of a GM.
Yep.
But their roster is loaded. They got an amazing coaching staff.
Yep.
And I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt to be number one. I think the Packers are fine at 10. Could the Packers finish top five as far as coaching staff? Sure. But I think where they're rated right now is properly rated.
Does it surprise you guys that they actually dropped in this year's list, too? They were 8 in 2023?
Two spots, no.
I mean, it's interesting in the sense that I feel like everybody is a fan of Halfley after seeing what he did with the defense. So I don't know how much weight that pulls.
But again, that's here. And I think everyone...
But also then, I feel like there's the... I guess it's like a teeter-totter to me is how I'm kind of envisioning it.
I think a two-spot move is not major.
I don't think it's...
So it does not
major.
Shock
It
me.
Just means that other teams also acquired stuff. The Packers...
Who's number 8 this year?
Number 8 this year is the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Sirianni and co.
Which is
number
fine.
9...
I'm sorry. You won the Super Bowl. You get the victors get the spoils.
Number 9 is a team that ranked 32nd. In head coaching rankings last year, or coaching rankings. That was the Las Vegas Raiders. They moved up to 9 this year.
I guess. They got Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly, and Patrick Graham are their coordinators.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You got Buffalo in front of them, Denver in front of
them. Has Chip Kelly had a lot of success in the NFL as a coordinator? Like, obviously, he didn't have very good success in Philly as a head coach.
Was it him with LSU, or was that his brother?
He was at Ohio State.
That's Brian Kelly. They're not
Brian
related.
Okay. Oh, they're not related?
Nope.
I swear to God, I thought that they were related.
Chip
this whole
Kelly
time.
Was Oregon before
no,
he got
Ohio State.
Ohio State,
State
OC last
yeah,
year.
I forgot he was with Ohio State.
But he was the Oregon head coach before becoming the Eagles head coach.
Yeah, so like, why is he getting.
Because I think Philly. I think
or is Pete Carroll the one swinging all the weight?
He's swinging all the weight, but also Chip Kelly's offenses were not the problem. It was the whole team was a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, he brought a lot of
things. He got his guy, Mariota.
Mariota played with Tennessee.
Oh, no. Yeah. Who's the other quarterback I'm thinking of? From Oregon that went to.
Regardless, Chip Kelly, like, is credited for innovating.
Are you thinking of the one that's on the Browns right now? Or are you thinking of Bo Nix?
No.
Who are you thinking?
Long time ago.
Oh.
You were just a wee tot.
Oh.
I know who Matt's thinking about. I don't know his name either off the top of my head, but I don't think he ever started games in the NFL. Or if he did, he was not a full season starter. Anyways, we just got real deep down the Chip Kelly rabbit hole right there.
I'm just shocked.
How did they jump
Kelly
so much? So much.
All right, here's
my
what
problem.
I also have a huge amount of faith in Kelly from ESPN here. Offensive coordinator role suits him better than head coaching jobs. He was offensive coordinator for the Eagles and the 49ers that overwhelmed him in the mid. Oh, I'm sorry, he was head coaching job Eagles 49ers that overwhelmed him in the mid 2010s, and he won't have control over personnel. His offenses the past few years at UCLA and Ohio State have become far more orientated on heavier personnel and diverse running game, the sort of stuff that is cooking in the league right now. So basically, Chip Kelly's problem when he was a head coach was being a head coach and having personnel say, not the offenses. And then he's been elite offensively everywhere else. And okay. So I think they believe Chip Kelly, he's not the first coach. I mean, Dom Capers is one of those guys, long-term defensive coordinator for the Packers, who is a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator, was never a good head coach. There's plenty of guys who just were not.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of them.
Yeah, and I think that's where Chip Kelly is.
Eberflus, wasn't he pretty good as a coordinator for the?
No. He was like that was the frustrating part for Bears. He was like the 13th. They like the 13th best defense.
Mm.
I don't know. But that was.
Is he back on the Chiefs?
No, Eberflus never left the Chiefs.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of on the Chiefs?
Matt Nagy went back.
Goodness
gracious.
What are we doing right now?
I'm trying to think of names, and I'm totally failing.
Can we just go to break? My God.
Norv Turner was a classic guy like that. There was classic coaches long-term that were great coordinators that were not good head coaches, and the league is full of them. We don't know. Dennis Allen, Chicago. Mm-hmm. He's failed twice as a head coach. He got those jobs because he's been a great defensive coordinator. He's likely going to be a defensive coordinator the rest of his career. Vic Fangio with Philadelphia. Yep. He failed as a defensive coordinator. He failed as a head coach. Hell of a defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And so the league is full of these guys who can be good coordinators. Josh McDaniel, just not head coaches. They're not the leader of the men's. That's what, when LaFleur was hired, it was, can he be the head coach? Or is he just going to be a play caller? Then LaFleur is proving he's a great head coach.
Yep.
And now he also can call plays. This is Jim at Mibes, and my crew's like.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Molly takeover of Wilde and Tausch continues across ESPN Wisconsin. Jim Rutledge alongside Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown. We are at Camp Randall for the Upper Deck event. We have a lot of different poll questions we got going on. We will keep this segment short. We are in classic Wilde and Tausch fashion. We are off on the clock. We got Wilde and Tausch trivia coming up next. I will not take part of that. Matt knows my thoughts on trivia.
He loves it.
Yeah, so.
So much Matt, that he can't be a part of it.
Matt and Molly.
I get
too excited. Matt and Molly will handle that. Some news here from Rob Domofsky. A couple of early did not practices or DNPs for the Packers today. Rasheed Walker of note, Aaron Mosby. And then here's the full list of new DNPs today. Nate Hobbs out with a knee. Jaden Reed out with toe. Aaron Mosby out with a groin. Rasheed Walker, groin. Devontae Wicks, calf.
Dontavian.
Dontavian Wicks, calf. Which one of those injuries would you want, Matt?
The toe injury. Because I love feet.
You could go to other countries and have fish suck it off then. Your toe.
The toe, yeah. See, I'm just sad for Jaden Reed. He's a good little foot soldier.
What did you say?
It was a throwback to, I think, was it Wes Welker that was making fun of Rex Ryan because he had a foot thing? He kept making foot jokes on the podium. Classic.
Molly,
yeah, so Rex
fact.
Ryan.
What, Ryan? What is your fun fact about toes right now?
No.
Tell us.
It's not about toes. It's about Rex Ryan is related to Rob Ryan.
Okay.
Chip Kelly and Brian Kelly.
Wait, yes, I knew that. Okay, I swear to God, I thought that
their dad is Buddy Ryan.
Correct.
Okay.
Buddy Ryan was the
when I think
coach.
Of Buddy, I think of Buddy the Elf.
Okay, Buddy.
I know.
The Ryan was the Bears defensive coordinator for Super Bowl 85 and head coach in the NFL.
Also, can we just talk about how rude Ryan and Matt are to me the last 2 days? Like, you guys legitimately treat me like I'm an idiot.
What do you mean? Do you even know what?
Molly, do you know what infamous means? Did you look it up in the dictionary?
Well, your reaction to it was not what I would expect. Was everyone's like, yeah, you're infamous. You're like, oh, thank you. Flipped your hair behind your shoulder.
I mean, I'll take any compliments I can get.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a compliment.
It had the word famous in it.
Exactly.
It does.
All right, before we get to trivia or getting a caller, I don't even know what we do for trivia here, to be honest. But are you confident, our Citing Limited poll question here is, are you confident the Brewers will make the World Series after yesterday's MLB trade deadline, 82% of you say no.
Yeah, I voted no.
All right, Ryan, what do we do here?
So here for Wilde and Tausch Trivia is where we get one caller to participate in Wilde and Tausch Trivia. They'll join us on the air, and then they will answer the questions as read by Molly and Matt, since Jim doesn't want to participate today. So we got to get a caller.
All right, so give me a number.
Let's go caller number 10. Packers ranked the 10th best coaching staff, according to Ben Solak of ESPN.com.
Caller number 10 will play Wildy and Tiles Trivia brought to you by Vortex Golf. 844-770-3776. Caller number 10 will play Wildy and Tiles Trivia. 844-770-3776. This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, Wildy and Tiles.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover on Wildy and Tausch. I saw Jim adjusting his headphones there because I sound just like him, bringing it back in. I'm Molly Brown alongside Matt Hamilton. Jim Rutledge is here, but he will not be participating in trivia because he doesn't like to have fun.
I do like to have fun. That's why I'm not participating.
Okay, gotcha. Our contestant today for Wildy and Tausch trivia is Pat from...
McFarland!
Pat, are you a first-time contestant?
I am.
Oh, welcome. Jason's going to be so bummed that he missed it. Ryan didn't ask you. So.
Hey, we can't all be perfect, Molly, all right? And well, speaking of which, I got to play one thing before we get into trivia.
What do you got to play?
Never mind. Jesse broke that button. It doesn't work anymore. We'll get that figured out later. So
you can always count on Jesse Nelson.
Let's take it away.
All righty. Matt, you got the first question.
Yep. So, Pat, first question. Football is back. The NFL preseason kicked off with the Hall of Fame game last night. Which of these three teams did not play in last night's game? A, the Chargers. B, the Lions. Or C, the Colts?
C, the Colts.
Nailed it.
Ryan, did you make these questions or did Jesse... Or did Jesse write these?
You think Jesse Nelson's going to do extra work on his day off? Come
no,
on.
These look like Ryan questions.
Yeah, they're that not very fair. Good questions, I'll be honest.
All right.
This next one's tough.
All right. Question number two, Pat. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has been located in Canton, Ohio for over 60 years. First built in 1962, the current structure is located on a street named after which one of these founding members of the National Football League? A, Curly Lambeau. B, George Halas, or C, Jim Thorpe?
I'm going to go C, Jim Thorpe.
50-50 crack. You want to go for it? George Halas or Curly Lambeau?
I'm going to go B.
Yeah, there
George
you go.
Halas is correct.
George Halas was
all
correct.
Right. All right.
You don't get credit for that one, but... Good second guess.
The third and final and my favorite question. Which member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025, an avid curler, appeared on Jim, Matt, and Molly back in February, less than 1 week after he was announced as one of the members of this year's class? Was it A, Sterling Sharp, B, Antonio Gates, or C, Jared Allen?
I'm going to go A.
You'd think.
We can tell you don't listen to our show.
You
want to
try Antonio Gates or Jared Allen?
I'll try Jared Allen.
That would be correct, Pat.
That's correct. Jared Allen, friend of show, personal friend of mine, and also avid curler, and he did beat me the last time we curled against each other.
Sick brag, bro. Pat, you get two entries into this week's trivia drawing for that Vortex. I don't know if it's a swag bag or a rangefinder. Ryan, maybe
swag
you have
bag.
More. It's a
swag bag.
Okay, swag bag. So you have two entries in. I believe that Wildy and Tausch and Jesse will be picking that on Monday when they return.
So thanks for playing.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, and good luck in your next go-around when you get back on for Wildy and Tausch trivia.
You got it. Thank you.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We got more coming up next.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.